What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Friday, December 18th, 2020. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the former informer, Imran Khan.
How are you doing? I'm happy to close out the year with you, Greg Miller.
I'm happy to close out the year with you, Imran.
Two of my favorite people, you and Kevin Coelho.
Exactly. There it is.
I'm touching hands.
Kevin, come up, put your hand up. Do you not have Kev Cam? We'll wait for Kev Cam to come up. Right. Of course, ladies and gentlemen, if you didn't know, this is the final Kinda Funny Games Daily of 2020. No, that's just the YouTube video manager. Maybe he doesn't have it. I'm putting my hand down in 3, 2, 1, and it's gone. It's over. Right. Yeah, cool. Kev Cam's not going. Imran, what are your plans for the break?
I have zero plans, and that's the way I want it.
Nice. That's excellent. Yeah. I like where your head's at on that one. Yeah, for sure. Kevin, what are your plans? Oh, there you go. There's Kevin. He figured out. All right, now he can do it. Hands up.
Okay.
There you go. There it is. Look at that. Great. Kevin, what are your plans for the break?
Nothing. I mean, no solid plans.
Sure. Of course.
Probably figure out some technical side stuff on this end here. Oh.
Of course, if you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, we're going off for 2 weeks, which means we'll be back for January 4th, 2020. Kind of funny. Or 2021. I got to use that. January 4th, 2021. Kind of funny games. God, I'm fucking it all up because I'm going to end the intro already. Here's what I wanted to do. I'm going to start it by getting a platinum trophy. All right, hold on.
Okay, I was going to ask, what is that thing behind you?
Kyle Stevenson, Kinda Funny best friend, of course, put up a Twitter video today showing the walkthrough on how to get the platinum off of The Language of Love. And it turns out you just hit start and then hit R1, and now all the trophies will pop behind me and I don't have to do anything. And that's another platinum. And there goes one. That's the kind of platinum trophy I'm looking for. That's exactly what I want out of my life. Now that that's going,
I can get into the whole thing. You've scrubbed half the visual novel part of that genre out of it. Now it's not even visual.
It's still visual. You're using your eyeballs. Huh?
Is it fast forwarding?
Yeah. You can skip all the dialogue. All the dialogue's on auto skip, so it just goes. So I just hit R1 when it started, right. And now it's going to go through for 2 minutes go, and it'll give me a platinum trophy. Thank you, Kyle Stevenson.
The ladies last and gentlemen, platinum of 2020.
Oh, I doubt it. Come on now. Let's look at that Avengers platinum. That's my break is, playing Cyberpunk, hopefully knocking that out and then getting on to finishing off my Avengers platinum, which I've been nipping on forever. But ladies and gentlemen, we're bullshitting around a lot here at the top because it's the final day of work and we're all excited to, have a break. But the video game news never stops. Let's talk about how CD Projekt Red continues to burn. Super Nintendo World details emerging today and Riot is making an MMO. All this and more because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show at patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Of course, on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, you can write into the show. You can give us your squad up requests. You can get the show ad-free. You can get the show with the exclusive post-show we do each and every weekday, barring the 2 weeks we're taking off for the holiday. Of course, there's so much more to do on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Just toss us a few bucks, get some exclusives, see a whole year's worth of content we've put up there behind the Patreon wall for just our subscribers. However, if you don't think we're worth the bucks, I understand. You can watch us record this show live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you're watching live, you have a special job. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and listening on podcast services around the globe each and every weekday. Housekeeping.
You got sexy for a little bit.
I figured it might. Oh, there's the platinum too.
There you go.
Language of love. Well, that's language of love gold. And then bam, love platinum. There it is. You know what I mean? Thank you, Kevin. And I feel justified in doing it. And here's the important thing I'm going to do, guys, that of course I know you, Kevin Coelho, do, that you, Imran Congo. I go and immediately sync it to my trophy profile, which, of course, you can go see on psnprofiles.com. Unlike a certain Merc64, who is terrified to show us his trophies and let us know what is going on in there. Blessing Adeoye Jr., what are you hiding? The people demand to know. They deserve to know. Merc City 64. Unlock your trophies.
If enough people ask Sony for something, they'll do it. We have proof now.
We definitely have proof of that today. You can go to youtube.com/kindoffunny. Watch me call Sony support to try to get them to overturn Blessing's trophies, but I digress. For now, you should go to youtube.com/kindoffunnygames where our Back for Blood Let's Play is up. That's right. It's me. It's Kevin. It's Blessing. And it's Snowbike Mike playing through the alpha of Back for Blood yesterday. And I had a great time. Did you have a great time, Kevin?
It was fun.
Yeah, I'm excited for that game. A lot of stuff I didn't expect in it, Imran. I don't know how much you've looked into it. I don't know how much you like Left 4 Dead.
Lots of dragons.
No dragons.
I did not expect dragons. I figured I'd wait. It's like 6 months, and you know, my normal Left 4 Dead crew is not gonna, you know, play the alpha, so I figured I'd wait. But watching you guys play, I kind of want to get into it. I kind of want to try it.
Get into it, doggy dog. That's the worst part about it is now that it's done, I have to wait to the summer to actually play the entire thing, which I always hate. But whatever, I had a lot of fun, and now
I know it was just one day, and it was it.
Well, no, but it's just the one act, and that's gonna go on. Yeah, exactly. That's all the content you get from it. You know what I mean? Like, we could. What are we gonna keep playing the same thing? I guess our deck would be there, and that's a big deal.
Marvel. I digress. Did that right?
Marvel did that. What do you mean?
That game you like so much.
Oh, Avengers. No, there's a lot more content than that. Not as much content as some games, but more than just the one act we got from Back for Blood. I see what you're doing, though. Thank you to our Patreon producer, Blackjack. Today, we're brought to you by Upstart, HBO Max, and Brooklinen, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. 5 items on the Roper Report.
Baker's dozen.
Number one is titled "Holy fucking shit! Sony Interactive Entertainment delists Cyberpunk 2077." This broke like last night at around like 5 o'clock ish, and then continued to go on through the day. So there's multiple parts to it, but we'll start with what happened yesterday. Sony, aka PlayStation, put up this post. SIE strives to ensure a high level of customer satisfaction. Therefore, we will begin to offer a full refund for all gamers who have purchased Cyberpunk 2077 via PlayStation Store.
Reasonable.
SIE will also be removing Cyberpunk 2077 from PlayStation Store until further notice.
Holy shit.
Once we have confirmed that you have purchased Cyberpunk 2077 via the PlayStation Store, we will begin processing your refund. Please note that completion of the refund may vary based on your payment method and financial institution. Imran, when this first popped, it was news enough of, oh, holy shit. Like, it came from a tweet from Sony, right? From Ask PlayStation, being like, hey, we're going to refund you if you bought Cyberpunk. We'll get out there. We'll do it. But then it was boiling it into reading into that second sentence. SIE will also be removing Cyberpunk 2077 from the PlayStation Store until further notice.
They very much buried the lead. Yeah.
Outrageous, Imran.
So, like, there's two things at play here. Is why would Sony do this, and why would they do this way?
Yeah.
And, like, it's a little complicated because Sony's refund policy is if you downloaded the game and you played the game for, like, a minute, that you're done. You can't get a refund. You've already, like, that game is on your system. That is ridiculously prohibitive, but, like, that's the refund policy. So Cyberpunk did that message a couple of days ago of talk to Sony, talk to Microsoft, they'll get you the refunds. And Sony was like, no.
No, we won't. That's not what we do. Yeah.
And to do a blanket refund policy, they would have to say, this game is defective. Everyone can get a refund because this game just straight up doesn't work, which is not true for Cyberpunk. It's, you know, real bad, but it's not defective in that the game launches and you can play it. But to do a refund policy, they have to say that. But if you're saying a game is defective, then you can't sell it. So they have to, at the same time, say, okay, we'll refund everyone, but we're not going to, like, you know, we're going to keep selling the game, which, you know, not logical, not according to their policies. So that's why I think they pulled the game. But why they did it this way of, like, you said it was at, like, 5 p.m. That was, like, 2 a.m. in Warsaw.
Yeah.
I think, like, they had no coordination with CD Projekt Red, at least as far as statements go. CD Projekt Red later put out a statement saying, yeah, no, we talked about them with it. This is not you know, a big surprise. Which I didn't
insert that here, because I have a whole bunch of different stuff here. But yeah, to add in right there, the statement released this morning or way later in probably our evening, whatever, you know, midnightish or whatever. CD Projekt says, following our discussion with PlayStation, a decision was made to temporarily suspend digital distribution of Cyberpunk 2077 on PlayStation Store. You can still buy physical versions of the game in brick and mortar stores and online. All purchased digital and physical copies of the game will continue to receive support and updates as we continue to improve our experience. According to our knowledge, starting today, everyone who is not willing to wait for updates and wants to refund their digital copy of the game can do so by submitting a request at, and it's the PlayStation link. We are working hard to bring Cyberpunk 2077 back to PlayStation Store as soon as possible.
Yeah, and them saying they talked about this with Sony, I'm sure they did. But I don't think Sony gave them a heads up of, like, hey, we're doing this right now.
I don't it either.
Or we're doing it at this time because there is no way, like from a PR perspective, there's no way they didn't have a thing ready, like a, you know, yellow text or yellow background, black text thing saying, hey, this is happening. Please don't worry about it. We're going to get it solved. And to be clear, like delisting does not mean like the game gets removed off your hard drive. If you own it and you enjoy it, great, keep playing. But right.
New people can't buy it.
Yeah, I think Sony is probably justifiably kind of pissed that one, CD Projekt Red threw them under the bus on refunds. Two, it doesn't get enough attention, and I think maybe in the coming weeks it will. CD Projekt Red admitting that they skipped cert is not a thing third parties admit. It's not a thing anybody talks about, and it makes Sony and Microsoft look, one, liable, really, and bad. Two, really bad.
Yeah.
And like, I think this is them saying, hey, don't fuck with us on this sort of thing. We will make our decisions. We will protect our platform as much as we want to protect it.
We don't have
to loop you in.
Your read on it is 100% correct. And I know, obviously, we were all scrambling yesterday to deal with this as it came down and figure out what it meant. But I mean, that is what this is, where I think the CD Projekt Red thing from before, of like, if you want a refund, hit up Xbox and PlayStation. And they were like, what the fuck? Like, no, we didn't talk about this. This isn't how it is. You saw people getting pissed when they did write into PlayStation, then screen capping their conversations, putting them on Twitter, putting them on Reddit, as they should, where PlayStation's like, we're not refunding you for this game. And so, yeah, I read this last night as totally a middle finger to them. Of like, cool, you know what? We will refund all these games. And you know what else? This game isn't available on our fucking store anymore because it's not worth the headache. And they didn't talk to us about this. And fuck them. That's not how this is going to go.
It is. CD Projekt had a week. They've had a hell of a week.
They sure have, Imran.
And like, to a point where I'm like wondering, like, what's going to happen today? Like, what could possibly happen?
Yeah.
To finish this week off? Because it's not even entirely about Cyberpunk, too. Like, they have established themselves as not the company you trust, even through like the devotion thing. I don't trust whatever they're going to say. Cause that like, I guess Blessing talked about it yesterday, but like the devotion thing,
2 days ago, the devotion thing from GOG. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Like that was just straight up a lie of like, oh, we've seen messages. We know what you mean. You see messages from like China and Chinese gamers primarily who are like review bombing a thing, but it's how they manage to keep stepping in it. Even through like, even the times they're trying to be quiet and just like let it be somebody else's problem, they still manage to keep like on a downward slide. And we talked about this in the review a little bit of, I don't know if I'm going to be able to just trust Witcher 4 when it comes out. I'm now at the point where like, I don't know, period, if I'm going to be able to trust CD Projekt Red for like the foreseeable future, because it's not just about the next projects, it's about the next five projects of how did they let it get this far.
And I want to, so let's keep going real quick. I want to get the Xbox part before we get to a Jason Bloomberg report that was just filed today. Reuters then had a follow up since the PlayStation thing got taken down, saying Poland's CD Projekt is not in talks with Xbox producer Microsoft about a possible withdrawal from scale of a console version of Cyberpunk 2077. The company's chief executive said on Friday, quote, "We are not in such discussions with Microsoft at the moment," Adam Kaczynski said in a statement to Reuters. Then Xbox's support this morning, like 30 minutes ago, man, a little bit more now, tweeted, "Cyberpunk 2077. To ensure that every player can get the experience they expect on Xbox, we will be expanding our existing refund policy to offer full refunds to anyone who purchased Cyberpunk 2077 digitally from the Microsoft Store until further notice. While we know the developers at CD Projekt Red have worked hard to ship Cyberpunk 2077 in extremely challenging circumstances, we also realize that some players have been unhappy with the current experience on older consoles. To date, we have granted refunds to the vast majority of customers who have requested one. To request an Xbox refund for Cyberpunk, go to these steps on this thing," or whatever. So not delisting it, but also expanding their refund policy to get into everybody who has this game, Imran.
Yeah, which is like Microsoft, their refund policy was already pretty lax. I think it's the same as Valve's of 2 hours or 2 weeks. Now they're just saying like, ignore this metrics. Like if you're not happy with the game, like just, you know, refund it. Which is why they don't have to delist it like Sony does, because Sony had a much more strict and much more aggressive refund policy than Microsoft does.
Thereof.
Yeah. So I can understand why like Microsoft didn't just pull it out. But also people are still going to buy this game despite the, you know, reputation. It does kind of work out from a sales perspective that like they're the only console right now where you can buy it. Granted, that's probably not the main thing they're concerned about, but it is a happy accident on the side.
So, and then before we get into a whole bunch of reader mail about this and more conversation, let's read Jason Schreier's Bloomberg report, where basically the devs are also pissed. The devs are pissed at management over there as well. Rebellion is in the air at Polish video game publisher CD Projekt SA after the company's highly anticipated and thrice-delayed latest title was released to scathing reviews about glitches. Frustrated and angry staff fired questions at the board during an internal video meeting Thursday that opened with management apologizing for Cyberpunk 2077's disastrous launch, according to two people who were present. It was a fitting atmosphere for a company whose slogan, plastered on posters all around its Warsaw office, is "We are rebels." Developers asked blunt questions about the company's reputation, the game's unrealistic deadlines, and the relentless overtime in the months and years leading up to the game's December 10th release. The meeting took place before Sony Corp's shocking announcement that it was pulling Cyberpunk 2077 from the PlayStation Store and will offer full refunds to any customer who requests one. During the staff meeting, CD Projekt's directors said they had come to an arrangement with Sony but didn't offer specifics. In a Twitter post on Friday, the company said that, quote, following our discussion with PlayStation, a decision was made to temporarily suspend digital distribution of the game. During Cyberpunk 2077's development, staff endured multiple periods of extensive overtime, including mandatory six-day weeks to finish the game, Bloomberg has reported. When asked about this crunch time in the Q&A, the directors said they had plans to improve production practices in the future, but didn't elaborate, according to one person who was there. One employee asked the board why it had said in January that the game was, quote, complete and playable, when that wasn't true, to which the board answered that it would take responsibility. Another developer asked whether CD Projekt's directors felt it was hypocritical to make a game about corporate exploitation while expecting that their employees worked overtime. The response was vague and non-committal. Fuck these guys. Why can't this board of directors even talk to their employees? Come on.
It's weird. Like, it feels like they think they're still the scrappy underdogs they were 10 years totally. Ago. Which is like, no, you had one of the biggest games of this generation, and now you had like one of the most anticipated ones with a promotional deal with Microsoft. Like, you are not the scrappy underdogs. You are the big corporation, which, like, that gets called out in the story of their. It's a game about corporatism run amok that is crunching the developers who are making it. And honestly, the next 2 months, especially in light of like this delisting and all the, you know, the bad press pick they've had, it's going to be hell for those developers. Like, they're trying to make a December 21st patch and then a January patch. Like, they're crunching through the holidays. There's no way around that.
And that was the thing I was talking about, because correct me if I'm wrong, because there's been a bunch of different statements from on other games too. Wasn't the idea that it was going to be a January patch and a February patch, and they had said that they were going to basically, like, you know, the team gets a holiday and then they'll come back and hit it harder than ever. I thought that was one of the initial statements from CD Projekt, right?
That was the implication, and that, okay, like, we'll only be reachable through like December 22nd or whatever.
Exactly. That was before the biggest console pulled the fucking game. Right. Like, they have to be, as the board of directors or whatever, on their hands and knees begging, or maybe being tyrants and demanding that people stay and work on this game now to get it back to in shape, to get it back onto the PlayStation so that people can actually buy this thing. And that's so fucked up to think about. As we've had these conversations about, I'm sorry, go ahead.
What does that look like? What does it look like for Cyberpunk to be back on PlayStation? Like, because they can't fix that game. Like, it's not going to ever be. It is a next-gen game crammed onto a last-gen console. And it has done so in a very artless and fundamentally broken way. How are you going to ever sell that game on the PS4 again? Because, like, right now, Sony has said, hey, we have a blanket refund policy. So if you do start selling that game again, do you take that refund policy back?
They will. And they'll, like, have to do that, right? Of like, it's back and it's up to standards, and that's where, you know, you can't get these refunds anymore.
But then what does that game look like? Like, is it, because they're removing it because it's fundamentally broken, but it's still playable. It is still like, you can see an ending to Cyberpunk 2077, even if you, like, Barrett missed the title card, or like people are T-posing, or the game's still crashing. Like, I guess crashes are the only thing they really can fix, but then people will be pissed when they buy that game being told it's fixed. And like,
and it's still garbage. Yeah.
It's still garbage. Like, on the other hand, people could buy the game, play through it, finish it, then refund it by these same policies. Like, it is, there is no good solution for them here until, like, they release a PS5 version, and that's just it. And I think Tim was saying a couple of days ago, maybe they should just cancel the last-gen versions and, you know, work only on next-gen. That might be the only real solution here. Like, it's not a good solution.
Wow. But can you imagine? Like, I don't even understand. Like, You're talking about, you wake up and you're like, what's going to happen next? Like, what does today bring for the Cyberpunk CD Projekt drama, and what will it be? And you keep thinking, all happened, like, you know, the frog in the boiling pot of water. But you do wonder where rock bottom is for this. And if rock bottom is, hey, listen, we are not going to be able to get this game up to standards on the PlayStation 4, so we are canceling that version, meaning that if you have it, it needs to be refunded. We're still going to put patches out. We need to, what does that do to their bottom line that's already in free fall in terms of stock? Like, where does that end up going? What does that do to this company? Not that I'm saying that's the most important thing here. I'm just saying, from pundit perspective, as somebody who talks about this every day, you want to talk about a turn of fate, right? Where you can sit here and say a month ago, but you can say really what, 2-3 weeks ago, that we were all like, oh, it's gonna be fine, probably, right? Like, it's fucked. I kept saying on PS I Love You, it's fucked up we don't have console versions, but like, you assume it's gonna be bad. I didn't expect it to be abysmal. I didn't expect it to be changing the way PlayStation does refunds. I didn't expect it to be this game getting delisted.
And like, it's, that is bad. The releasing the game the way they did was bad. Not showing it was bad. Every step they've made after release has also been just an unforced error. 100%. And it's ridiculous that, like, how did they think they have, I know the PR people at Cyberpunk or CD Projekt Red, they are like, they've been doing this a long time. How did they think that releasing that statement on refunds was at all logical? Did someone up top tell them?
Exactly. That's my whole thing is, and I know that, like, I shouldn't say happy, that sounds weird, but like, I was filled with a sense of confidence yesterday that more people get this than don't. Where, yes, when the statement went out and it was, it's being delisted from PlayStation, so many people were tweeting, and not just industry peers, you know, people who work here, but fans tweeting of like, hey, this good move on PlayStation or whatever you want to feel about that, but this sucks for the developers. Like, the developers weren't the ones saying publish this fucking game, right? It's the suits at the top. And I think that's exactly what you're seeing here. Like, I know the people who do PR for Cyberpunk as well, right? I know the third-party PR company they worked with for Cyberpunk. Like, I at no point think those people were twirling their mustaches and saying, let's not send that. It was people at the top saying, you're only sending PC codes, you're only giving them a week. Okay, what the fuck? We're getting questions and then not getting a response. You guys are working on this game day in, day out to get this thing to the point we're shipping on December 10th. It's not ready for December 10th. Fuck it, we're shipping it. It's the same thing of, here's a statement we want to write. And I guarantee that statement from that probably got crafted from the first person in PR, the PR team, that was then given back to management, came back redlined to shit, everything done and neutered in every sense of the word, because they don't want to take responsibility, right? Again, like, the thing that pisses me off about that fucking letter the first letter was, you know, we want you to take a chance on us, but if you can't, you can get a refund from PlayStation or Xbox. It's like, no, they took the chance on you already. Giving you $60 for the video game was the chance. This isn't the chance, you asshole.
It's such a mess, and like, long term, it hurts them as a company.
100%.
It's one thing for people like us to be like, oh yeah, well, they messed up on Cyberpunk. Who knows how Witcher is going to work? It's another thing for like BBC to start talking about it, be like, Reuters. Oh yeah. They weren't talking. I think BBC was actively laughing at their statement of, we should have paid more attention to the quality of the game. Like,
outrageous.
When people hear CD Projekt Red now, they're not going to think, oh, those are the guys who made those amazing Witcher games. Yep. They're going to think, they messed up so bad on Cyberpunk.
Oh, they're the people who lied a lot. They did a bunch of stuff. And that's what I've been talking to Jen about it. We were driving around yesterday, and it was like, heads have to roll. Someone has to fall on the sword, right? Like, that's got to be what's happening right now with this, like, their four presidents or whatever it is. Like, there's this, who's going to go? Are you all going to go? Somebody has to be like, hey, we fucked this up and we don't want this to be the legacy of this company. We need to get their reputation back. But even then, that's going to be so hard to figure out how and what that looks like.
And honestly, like, sometime over the last 8 years, someone should have said, hey, the game we're making is not going to work right on these consoles. Like, maybe that does hold it back a little bit. Maybe it's not the same game in that sense, but someone should have gone, we need to scale down the scope if we're going to do this. It shouldn't have been, we'll figure it out later. Because that seems to be the logical, that seems to be what they've actually done, is go like, okay, we're focusing on PC and next-gen consoles, or, you know, whatever comes after PS4, we're not going to, like, worry too much about consoles that were, honestly, a little technologically old at launch.
Yeah.
I think at some point they should have just said, either we're going to do this right, or we're not going to do it at all. And the answer maybe should have been not doing it at all, but there was some person at top who probably should be let go at some point, saying, no, these consoles have 100 million units. We can't ignore them.
BJ Bernardo writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames just like you can and says, hi, y'all. With all this news about Cyberpunk 2077 playing like a hot garbage truck on fire rolling down those Rice-A-Roni San Fran steep hills on last generation consoles, is this proof that trying to create games on both new gen and old gen was a bad move? Should developers just focus on creating games for the Series X/S and PS5s? Do we just call it the Series now? He just wrote the Series in PlayStation 5.
It makes sense.
I kind of like that. The series. All right. And PlayStation 5s. Does this change Xbox and other developers' thoughts or plans to support and provide games for last-gen consoles? Imran, where do you come down on this one?
I don't think anyone else is going to make that same mistake. Like, this is going to have some industry-wide ramifications. Like, we talked about a certain thing earlier. I think that those exceptions are now going to go out the window. But I think if you're putting out, I'm trying to think of what a game remaining to come, let's say Skull and Bones. I don't know that game's coming out on last-gen consoles or it's ever coming out, period. But let's use that as an example. If you're making Skull and Bones for both consoles, you at this point probably know the scope. That's what we were talking about earlier is, I think CD Projekt Red messed up by not recognizing what they were actually putting that thing on. And at some point, somebody at Ubisoft with regard to Skull and Bones will say, okay, this is just not going to work. We have to cut this off, or we have to scale this entire concept down because we can't have like 3 million chips right available. We can only have like, you know, a million or whatever, you know, just random numbers. But like, I think this does give developers pause on cross-gen games, but not in whether they release them, but in how they make them. So let's assume for argument's sake, there will be a next generation of consoles, like different hardware, all that stuff. We don't know that for a fact, but you know, whatever. I think developers are going to go, hey, make sure this works on both, rather than going, oh, yeah, we're going to leave this install base behind. That doesn't matter. We're going to only sell new consoles, which is not a thing that actually works out for a lot of big third parties with anticipated games.
Yeah. Yeah, it's such a loaded thing, right? BJ's question is there proof that trying to create games on both new-gen consoles and old-gen was a bad move? I mean, I personally say no. What I think it is proof that you can't mismanage a studio in a project like this. Like, this is all mismanagement. I think, because obviously, you know, the concern on so many levels would be that this fires off a flare for Halo Infinite, Horizon Forbidden West. These games we know are going to straddle the line between these different systems. And as I saw Jeffy Grubgrub from GamesBeat in the chat shout out, what's crazy is Cyberpunk isn't even a cross-gen game. It's a great point, Jeff, right? But I think that this is where the argument lies in this. And I feel it goes to exactly what you're saying, Imran, of knowing what you're building and understanding the scope. And I think that, you know, you look at Miles Morales that runs fine on PlayStation 4, runs better on PlayStation 5 and looks better, obviously. I think you see that it can be done. And I think that there's this argument of like, well, is it holding it back or is it doing this different thing? Playing Miles on PS5, I never thought, oh, this is great, but I bet it could have looked even better with PlayStation we weren't worrying about PlayStation 4. I did, of course, as we all, I'm sure, do, think that, oh, man, if this came out 5 years into the life cycle of the PlayStation 5, I'm sure it would look different. Spider-Man 2 will look dramatically better and all these different things. But I don't think that's because of the PlayStation 4 as much as I think it is getting up to speed on this new hardware and doing new things with that and what your development cycle is there. Halo Infinite's an interesting argument of, cool, the game seems to be just getting not redone, but retouched in every way. So like when we get to a year into the Xbox series, does that still hold up and look as good? And does it matter? Are there other first person shooters out there that are just outclassing it on the Xbox, making it look like something completely different? All that out the window for Cyberpunk in this very specific case. Like, I don't think this is fuck games that are coming to old gen and new gen. I think it is very much fuck games that just don't know what they're making and can't figure it out. And like, what's ridiculous, and I know it's come up so many times before, but like, remember, like, this was originally supposed to launch, and not even the original release date. This was supposed to launch before PlayStation 5 was even out. Imagine if that was the case, where we had brought this thing home and we didn't have PlayStation 5s and Xboxes that are the next gen ready to run it and go backwards with it.
Yeah, and I kind of wonder if like, if they had released the actual next gen version, like the one that is quote unquote native for PS5 and Xbox series, then like, would people be as mad? Because there is like a good version for consoles there. It's just they don't have the consoles powerful enough to play it. People would still be like pissed off, but I don't think they would be like to this level.
It's crazy. It's crazy. Yeah. Now, here's another question. The other Sean writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, "Happy Friday, Kind of Funny Games Daily." Well, here we go again. More cyberpunk drama. Sony has offered full refunds on digital purchases and delisted it from their store. So my question has to be asked. Is this going too far, or is this the right move? I said far weird. Is this going too far, or is this the right move? Personally, I'm all for full refunds in a given amount of time on any purchase, digital or physical. I would never fault anyone for being dissatisfied with their experience with Cyberpunk. But let's be honest, Cyberpunk is not a bad game. It is flawed heavily on how it performs on launch consoles and low-end PCs, absolutely. Buggy and broken? You bet. I'm not defending any of that, believe me. But what about Cyberpunk makes a stronger case for refunds and delisting than, say, Andromeda or Fallout 76, Anthem, Avengers? All of those games had significant flaws and undersold expectations. And there was backlash, of course. But not like this. Is Cyberpunk that much worse of an extreme case, or is it just the straw that broke the camel's back? And what could this mean for the future of digital sales refunds? I feel like we've kind of gotten into that. It's going to have ramifications for cert and then what refunds are. But yeah. What about this one, Imran, to you makes it such a, we have to drag this into the street and flog it for everyone?
They made it a big deal when they promised refunds. They were trying to... So it's... Cyberpunk, or CD Projekt Red, has the energy of somebody who just hit your car and is desperate to get out of there as fast as possible. Like, just get, like, throw their insurance information at you and be like, no, we gotta go. Sorry. Like, we'll do whatever. This is my name. Like, take a picture, whatever you need to do. We need to go. Go get refunds from Sony and Microsoft. That was a starting gun on this stuff. Like, yeah. Many people were getting refunds before that, like, or requesting refunds, but it was not until they gave their blessing to, you know, go talk to Sony about it that it became a thing of, hey, they said we should get refunds. Like, they said maybe trust us, but they, to salvage their reputation, they're trying to be like community friendly, whatever, without actually like really taking the steps to do it. That caused it to become a tidal wave of people going like, well, if even they think that and other people are getting there, I can always buy this later. I don't need to own this right now. There's no, if I'm going to be out of the zeitgeist or this thing doesn't run well, I can play it in the summer and still be fine. I think that's what made this a bigger deal than, say, Avengers. Crystal Dynamics and Square Enix, they went out and said, like, hey, yeah, you know, we could have done some things better. They didn't say, like, oh, yeah, no, we screwed up royally. Please, if you want to get a refund, then go for it.
And I realize I'm the biggest Avengers stan on the internet. That's right. I fucking love it, despite all its flaws. It wasn't Cyberpunk 2077 on the fucking PlayStation 4. Go watch video of that game running and be like, oh yeah, it's just as bad as Avengers. Avengers was content bear. I put 127 hours into the fucking thing. Like, it's not like, it's like you get to the end after the fucking story and then you don't want to run the same hallways. I get it. Totally. Don't get me wrong. Load times are long. Of course. I get it. Don't get me wrong. But that's the same case, I think, when you fall into like Anthem, which I think obviously is, again, not even, I think Avengers is above Anthem, but like Anthem, again, a game that played and you could find fun in, but yeah, when you got to the end of it, you're like, what am I doing? Why am I doing this? Why are there loads? Why can't I go back to this? Why can't I do that? Yeah. Fallout 76, you know, being a game that came out buggy as fuck, was Fallout, so we all expected that. But again, Bethesda, I remember when they sounded the klaxons on themselves and were like, what was it? Days before launch, put out a letter that was like, we're excited you're all about to take this journey. It's going to be rough. And we were all like, oh shit, if they're saying it's going to have an issue, that means it's going to have a huge fucking issue. Like, all of these are different than I think this Cyberpunk debacle that, again, like, when you look at, if you want to be that person, you want to look at Anthem and be like, EA, bad guys. You know what I mean? They're horrible. They're doing all this stuff. They just want the money, yada, yada, yada. They forced BioWare to do this. BioWare didn't deliver the game they wanted, blah, blah, blah. Like, there's all these different things and narratives you make up. You know, Bethesda, why did they do early access, blah, blah, blah. Like, when you go back and, like, there's a fucking digital paper trail for Cyberpunk. That is them fucking lying to you. Oh, yeah, it's running. You know, we were having some trouble on the you know, next-gen version the PlayStation 5 version. PC runs great. PlayStation 4, we're giving us some trouble, but it still works. It's great. Don't worry about it.
Surprisingly well.
It runs surprisingly well, which is, I guess, at all, right? And then, hey, everybody's excited for this review. We're going to give reviewers less than a week with the PC copy. That's a weird choice. All right, cool. No consoles will be delivered beforehand. You, consumer, if you get your hands on the a PS4 copy ahead of time and you try to put anything on the internet, we will fucking steal that content away from you because we do not want people to see this. Why? Yeah. Oh, we want to protect stories. We want to protect story spoilers and all that shit. It's like, then every one of these letters, you know, we'd like you to take a chance on us. They took the fuck, like, everything they say, even in this, the Jason Schreier report here of what they said to their own internal studios, right? Like, Imran, you put it better than anyone I've heard put it so far. They hit you, they hit your car, and they need to get the fuck out. They're tossing business cards at you. They're on the phone talking to somebody else. They're trying to get away from this accident as fast as possible. And they are just making it worse.
And I think part of it is like, this conversation should have happened like a year and a half ago. Sony and Microsoft need to do better about digital rights. Like, yeah. It is well past due. They now have digital-only consoles. They need to be able to say, like, hey, we have blanket obvious return policies. Like, I've always been, like, a proponent of, hey, what if we could just trade in games for credit? Granted, that's a very radical idea, and I don't think people are going to do that. But we need to actually start having a revolution and a revolutionary conversation, I guess, about the fact that we can't have the same policies we had for last generation. This stuff was still a little nascent. We were still figuring it all out. We figured it out now. The only reason we don't have the actual policies we need is because they don't want us to. They think we're comfortable in these current situations. This to them is like a terrible scenario, because this does bring all those problems to the forefront of, hey, what happens if I download a game and if I had bought it physically, I could take it to the store and be like, hey, this sucks, and maybe argue with them, maybe do whatever, maybe I know someone at Best Buy who would do the refund for me, who knows. Sure. But like, there are options. Here there's just no options. Here it is like, you talk to customer service and like, nah, until like you can actually get them to recognize it on such a wide scale they have to. And that should be like, that should be the forward momentum we take into arguing with Sony and Microsoft about these rights going forward. Because it's ridiculous we still have the same return policies we had, in some cases worse than like a year ago.
I want to get one more in here from Matt from Edmonton, who writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, just like you can, and says, in the wake of the Cyberpunk debacle, can we say with confidence that this is the most disappointing generation ever? By disappointing, I mean where developers and games did not live up to the expectations that we as fans had for them. Looking back on the last 7 years, it feels like there were more examples of disappointments than hits. Bethesda with Fallout 4 and Fallout 76, BioWare with Mass Effect Andromeda and Anthem, DICE with Star Wars Battlefront 2, and Ubisoft with Assassin's Creed Unity, just to name a few examples. If so, why? Is it a sign that there is something broken in the studio structure that becomes exposed as time goes on? Or is it an issue with the industry PR apparatus where hype gets out of control, or some other issue?
I don't agree with the premise, but I agree with some of the reasoning. Like, sure. Yes, PR and marketing has gotten out of control this generation, partially because games are so much more expensive to make and like you need to have a hit. But I don't think this has been the most disappointing generation. I think there's been a lot of hits. If you're looking solely for like sequels to last gen, were they made as good this gen? And the answer isn't always yes. But also, like, I might put Bloodborne above Dark Souls, depending on what day you might ask me. Like, I also would look at indies as a much... The Overton window on production value has moved a lot for those things, but they are, by and large, I would say, like, most of them are better now than they were last generation, or generation before.
I'm right there with you. When I read the question initially and put it in the doc this morning, I was very much like, get the fuck out of here. You know what I mean? Like, what are you talking about? Blah, blah, blah. Games are amazing. You know, looking back at the last 7 years, more examples of disappointments than hits. And he lists these things. Here's how I'd like to, let me rephrase the question and see how you take it this way. Was this the generation with the most disappointment? Disappointing generation makes it sound like, wah, wah, like, you know, PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, that it was a failure of a generation. I think what Matt is driving at is, was there more disappointment than ever in this thing? Not that the generation was a wash and it sucked, but was there more disappointment than ever? Was it a disappointing generation, but more disappointment as a fact of like games we thought were in the bag going to be great that didn't pan out?
I think I could agree with that. I think part of that is because there are just fewer games, like fewer AAA games, because we've all but eliminated the idea of AA, like the old days of like Darksiders and stuff like that.
We missed you, THQ, original THQ, THQ Nordic. I know you're trying to rebuild the stable, but
but like that we had every game now has to hit. It has to be a big thing revealed at a live conference of like Phil Spencer going like, we're excited to go back into the world of blah, blah, blah. And like, you know, all that stuff. Like, that creates expectations in those games. Like, I saw people saying Perfect Dark is now one of my most anticipated games. Like, you don't know anything about that game. You know it's, like, they're calling it Perfect Dark, but that's it. And, like, that, if that game isn't good, which is, you know, possible, Zero wasn't great, like, that person is going to be extremely disappointed that, like, all this hype they've built around a title and a revisiting the world that they like, and the fact that they know it's a big project that Microsoft is focusing on, will all be turned to, you know, disappointment and anger. And I think we've had more of that this generation because, you know, like I said, you have to make those games hit. And if they don't hit, then, you know, you're screwed for the next project. So I think that's a large amount of, like, what does drive our disappointment in, you know, in AAA games today.
One of the problems I think with this, too, is the fact that, I agree with what you're talking about. The when we had the initial read on the question of like, well, I don't, your outcome may not be what I agree with, but I agree with some of the evidence you're presenting, right? Part of that too, especially when you look at something like Bethesda, BioWare, DICE, on all these games they're making, I often think about how hard it is to live up to your own legend.
Yeah.
Like, I remember being at IGN when BioWare came through, or when Brudvig came back from seeing Mass Effect 1 and told us this ambition, these three games, choices were going to carry over. And sure, at that time, BioWare, you know, Knights of the Old Republic, right? Jade Empire, like, you were like, oh man, these guys and gals make great RPGs. I know what's going on with that. But on the other side of doing that, finishing Mass Effect, you know, whether you liked 3 or not, but finishing that journey and making these characters and having your merch in Hot Topic and having it become part of the pop culture. Same thing with Fallout, right? Fallout 3, I remember people being so excited about when we went and saw it at E3 that first time. And after playing it, I was like, wait, I can go anywhere? And like living and breathing and loving that so much. Like, I think it's not even that the developers or the companies themselves, even though to some extent they probably do, but it's not that they start believing their own hype. It's just that the hype gets away from you, where it is this idea that you these things become legend. These studios become, oh, BioWare, I can trust them. When in reality, they are still humans there. They're going to make mistakes. They're going to take shots that don't work out, and they want to be creative and they want to try things. And like, how do you balance that as you get bigger and bigger and bigger? And again, think about how much time there is between games, and think about how much time there is for us to fill it in with comic books or novelizations or just toys or whatever that we're all building, and the hype you have with your friends. Like, think about how easy it was to be blown away by Mass Effect or be blown away by Fallout 3 when you didn't know what the fuck you were getting. And I think go ahead.
There's a Shinji Mikami quote coming out. I think it was a Variety interview where he talked about how when he first made first founded Tango under Bethesda, he wanted to make a different kind of game, and like he would make that now. But after conversations with Bethesda, he ended up making Evil Within instead. And Evil Within is an okay game. It is a perfectly fine game. If that came out from like whoever, I'd be like, oh yeah, this is a great start to a horror franchise. But because it came from Shinji Mikami, it wasn't Resident Evil 4. It wasn't the sequel to Resident Evil 4 that we wanted. And like, you can't make a sequel to the best, one of the best games of all time, and just be like, out of nowhere, so you kind of stumble upon that sometimes. It doesn't just happen. Like, and I think that's kind of what you're talking about, is we have so many this is no longer a young industry. We have expectations on everyone and everything. Like, if Sean Murray comes out there with a new game, we aren't expecting it to be like No Man's Sky at launch. We're expecting it to be like No Man's Sky now, which is maybe not a realistic like expectation. Or like we're talking about with the Initiative, they have so much talent there. They're using the name Perfect Dark, but is that game going to be a Perfect Dark? Is it even going to be a Perfect Dark game, or just call it Perfect Dark? Like, we don't know that, but we're all ready to be hyped based on expectations and names.
And that stuff will get away from you. You know what I mean? No matter what Perfect Dark will be, that will not probably live up to most expectations. And I think there's a reason then when you look at games of the year or whatever, and when you talk about breakout successes or things that sweep you off your feet or take, you know, that to get the zeitgeist. And this is very broad because obviously there's Animal Crossing, obviously there's other stuff, but look at something like Fall Guys, right? That's Mediatonic. I remember playing their PSP minis. You know what I mean? Like you didn't know who the fuck they were. So when they put out Fall Guys, you're like, this is amazing. Look at Spiritfarer. I don't even know off the top of my head who made Spiritfarer. I had no expectations for that game, and I know people love it. And I think you look at something like, then you have to start looking at who's the next to pop and get to that level. And I think you look at CD Projekt Red, right? I always talk about it. Witcher 3 was the game that came to the most platforms and consoles and everything else. So it was a lot of people's first times. It was my first time playing a Witcher, right? And I remember being so excited, even though I didn't know. I was like, might not be my jam or whatever. I'm excited. People seem into it. So you came in with expectations that this is going to be a big RPG, but then it was able to cross that line and be huge, right? And then the legend of CD Projekt Red begins with their thank you letter to fans. All the DLC's free. Everybody's like, these developers are great. They're doing it right. They out Fallouted Fallout. You know what I mean? They fucking dominated this RPG market, and this is amazing. And then that legend builds all the way up to Cyberpunk that they can't live up to. And then I think back and you look at it right now, like, I wonder when you look at Supergiant, not that they're the next to fail, but they're the next, I think, to get huge. Like, in terms of this way, right? Where I fucking Supergiant with Bastion, right? I've been on board ever since to varying degrees, and not every game has been my jam or my cup of tea, Pyre in particular. But Hades has had such a fucking year. And yeah. So you look at it and it's like, is that a crossover title to make them into a bigger name? And then our expectations even greater for their next game? Now, my caveat to all that, and why I don't think Supergiant will be one of these we look back at in 3 years and go, man, they fucked up their legacy, right? Is like, what did they do with Hades? They launched it in early access and they said, we're going to build this in front of you and you can pay for it now if you want, or you can pay for it later. And people waited and paid and it was great. And it's game of the year for a lot of people. And on top of that, right, what have they talked about? Nobody fucking crunched. We all look after each other. We're making sure that everybody has a healthy relationship with work here, and we're not going to force you to make these games. Like, I want to see more of that. I want to see more metered expectations. Again, for Cyberpunk, like, what would have stopped them from last month being like, we're putting the game out, but it's going to be early access. It's going to be rough. We're doing this. What would have stopped them from being honest? And the answer, of course, is fucking money. They wanted all of your money, and they got your money. And now, of course, it's blowing up in their face. Worth pointing out, breaking as we go, Best Buy is now offering refunds on Cyberpunk 2077. There's a post over here that I got linked to from Wario64. I think it was via in the chat. A million people. I saw Jeffy Grubgrub, though. Good morning. Obviously, this is a response, it looks like, from Billy at Best Buy, senior social media specialist to somebody. Oh, it's on the forum. Good morning. Obviously, Cyberpunk 2077 had a ton of anticipation coming to this release, and while I've not played it myself, it would appear that perhaps for some, it hasn't lived up completely to that anticipation. While many are enjoying the game, and it appears that there is a patch coming on December 21st that should hopefully improve the game even further, we can certainly understand why some might be wanting to return the game even after it's been opened and played. Normally, Best Buy is unable to offer returns of open game software per our return and exchange promise here. However, after some deliberation and seeing that the vendor will be allowing returns through December 21st, Best Buy will also be allowing returns for select open Cyberpunk 2077 SKUs through December 21st, 2020. Beyond that date, we will return to our normal return and exchange promise for the game. Here are the SKUs, and it's PS4, Xbox One, Collector's Edition, PS4, Xbox One, Xbox One Digital. You can bring the game to your local Best Buy store, or if you had your purchase shipped to your home, you can return it via mail. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, it's...
exciting times. Fucked up exciting times.
It's so weird because the game is just not that broken. Like, it fundamentally works. It just... like, I'm not trying to defend the game when I say that. I'm trying to say, like, it is such without precedent. That a game that works, quote unquote, like, has this level of response of, no, please just return it. It's like, we understand.
Yeah, yeah. And it's that thing now where the dam is broken, right? And again, back to my point that these fucking people at the top of the food chain wanted your fucking money. And now what happens when you come back for it? How many people will come back for it? What will it happen? And like, this is a fucking Greek tragedy, because it's like, it's one of those where there are no winners in this situation. Gamers got burned. These, you know, the developers who fucking worked night and day and poured their heart and soul into this with the best intentions got put on an unmanageable timetable. They feel like all of their years of work on this were for nothing. They feel like they're a joke in the industry because they are right now. They know, right? We're 2 years later, but it'll be longer than that, I'm sure, in the long run, that we're still talking about Anthem and Fallout 76 and fucking beyond that, even No Man's Sky. Like, Cyberpunk 2077 will be talked about forever, and not because it was a great game, which, for all intents and purposes, at its core, it is. Like, you know, I mean, I know it's arguable, art's art or whatever, but like, running best on PC, it has a 9 or whatever on Metacritic. Like, Jesus.
narratives change very fast in the game industry. Like, there was a time where I felt like Crytek was poised to take over the industry, and right. now they're like, who talks about Crytek? So it is very possible to just ruin all your goodwill in one fell swoop, and here we are.
Here we are, Imran. Remember, if you want to be part of the show, ladies and gentlemen, patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where you can write in your questions, comments, concerns, squad up requests, and more. Of course, on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, you can get the show ad-free. And speaking of ads, Greg Way, today we're brought to you by Upstart. There's a lot of economic chatter right now about the state of the market. Is it recovering? How long will it take? Have we seen the worst? But if you're struggling to pay off high interest credit card debt, you can't wait for those answers. You need to take action. Now with Upstart, there's actually something you can do today to help fight off high interest credit card debt. Upstart is the revolutionary online lending platform that knows you're more than just a credit score. Unlike other lenders, Upstart can reward you based on your job history in the form of a smarter rate. Upstart lets you skip going to the bank because it's completely online. They offer loans from $1,000 to $50,000, so you can consolidate your debt into one easy fixed rate payment. Upstart makes it fast and simple to check your rate. Since it's just a soft pull, it won't affect your credit score. The hard pull happens if you accept your rate and proceed with your application. The best part? If the loan is approved and accepted, most people get their funds the very next business day. Over 500,000 people have used Upstart to pay off credit cards or meet their financial goals. Free yourself from the burden of high interest credit card debt and get back to using your money your way. See why Upstart has over 6,000 five-star reviews on Trustpilot, and hurry to upstart.com/kfgames to find out how low your Upstart rate can be. Checking your rate takes only a few minutes. That's upstart.com/kfgames. Your loan amount will be determined based on your credit, income, and certain other information provided in your loan application. Not all applicants will qualify for the full amount. Our next sponsor is HBO Max. In true 2020 fashion, the holidays are going to look a little different this year. That's why we partnered with HBO Max to keep the spirit of togetherness alive with their library of films for the holiday season. Staying put with your quarantine crew this holiday, HBO Max has bingeable series for you. At home with your overbearing family, HBO has the movie to get lost in. Doing the holidays solo, HBO Max has titles you'll want to discuss with friends and family virtually. No matter what mood you're in this holiday season, HBO Max has something for you. HBO Max has so many classic holiday films now streaming, like Holiday Affair and A Christmas Carol. Enjoy one of the biggest movies in theaters and on HBO Max on the exact same day. Sign up for HBO Max to stream Wonder Woman 1984 and even more heroes like Titans, Harley Quinn, Doom Patrol, and the good movie Batman v Superman. Of course, I will be watching Wonder Woman 1984 on December 25th. Yeah. But there's a bunch of other Christmas stuff like Last Christmas, The Family Stone, and of course, Die Hard. All of them are on HBO via HBO Max. And if that wasn't enough, December 25th also adds The West Wing. And December 28th is His Dark Materials Season 2 finale. Get cozy at home this holiday season by heading to HBOmax.com/now. HBO.com now. Just go to HBOmax.com right now. Do that. Final sponsor of the day and the year, Brooklinen. Some mornings you wake up feeling ready to pull the covers over your head and go back to sleep. No judgment, of course, but let's make that because you have the most comfortable sheets in the world. Don't love your sheets? Brooklinen has you covered. So Brooklinen was started by Rich and Vicky, who also tried to find beautiful home essentials that didn't cost you an arm and a leg. And when they couldn't, they founded Brooklinen as the first direct-to-consumer bedding company. They work directly with manufacturers to make luxury available directly to you without luxury-level markups. Brooklinen has a variety of sheets, colors, patterns, and materials to fit your needs and tastes. Brooklinen has over 50,000 five-star reviews and counting and is so confident in their product that all their bedding comes with a lifetime warranty. And Brooklinen is so much more than just sheets. They've got comforters, towels, pillows, and even loungewear. You can buy sheets, bedding, and pillows all at once and save even more. Be like me. I sleep on Brooklinen sheets and use a Brooklinen towel because I love Brooklinen. Don't wait. Do something nice for yourself or somebody you need to give a gift to. Go to brooklinen.com and use the promo code GAMES to get 10% off your first order and free shipping. That's BROOKLINEN.com. Promo code GAMES for 10% off your first order plus free shipping. Brooklinen.com. Promo code GAMES. Number two on the Roper Report. So there was a meme on the Reddit that somebody made the other day that was like the new Games Daily Breakdown, where it was Cyberpunk for 50 minutes and then 5 minutes of all the other news stories and segments shoved into one. Number two on the Roper Report, Super Nintendo is getting a Super Nintendo World Direct today. You can tune in today, Friday the 18th at 3 p.m. Pacific for a special Super Nintendo World Direct live stream. We'll be spending roughly 15 minutes showing just some of the USJ underscore officials new area Super Nintendo World. No game content will be featured. Imran, are you stoked? This is, of course, the theme park, if you don't know, everybody.
Yeah. I'm aspirational. I have no doubt this will depress me to watch. But also, like...
Because you can't go?
Yeah. Like, I can't go, and I wouldn't go for, like, the next year. But, like, yeah. when this is over, theoretically, in, like, end of next year, you know, early the year after, maybe that is a thing I do. Maybe I spend this time saving up for a trip to Japan to go check this thing out.
There you go. Okay. Yeah, I'm interested to see it. Obviously, all the leaked photos people have put out and the little concept arts look cool. But yeah, it's the same thing of like, ah, that's cool. I'm never going to go there anytime soon, so whatever. Yeah.
I want to design a theme park. I feel like that sounds fun as hell.
I believe there's video games that allow you to do that.
I want to design an actual theme park. I want if you're not risking killing actual people, then what's the point?
Sure, that's a great point.
100%.
Number three. Yesterday, of course, there was a Smash Brothers Direct. They revealed a whole bunch of details on Sephiroth. Am I saying it right? Everybody always freaks out when I say it. Sephiroth.
Hey, Sephiroth.
They're in my head now. You know what I mean? This is Matt T.M. Kim at IGN.com. During a deep dive into the newest fighter in Super Smash Brothers Ultimate, Sephiroth, director Sakurai announced the Sephiroth DLC will be released on December 22nd. He also revealed that the next wave of Mii Fighter costumes will include Tifa, Barret, as well as a Chocobo hat, and Geno from Super Mario RPG. Imran, did you watch this yesterday? I know you're a big Final Fantasy fan.
I did, and then I immediately played it right after it was over.
So what are you? So it's out December 22nd. How are you playing it already? What are you doing over there?
So they have a thing now since Sephiroth is a final boss. Sakurai did it, so there's a challenge against a Sephiroth, like, available immediately after the direct. So if you can beat him, and you have three difficulties to do so, I chose very hard because I'm a crazy person.
Sure.
If you can beat him, then you can just get access to Sephiroth already. And also the stage and the music and all that jazz. But if you want spirits, you have to wait until the 22nd. But for right now, you can actually just play as Sephiroth.
Okay. Sephiroth is the eighth DLC fighter to join Super Smash Bros. Ultimate and the third character in the latest fighter pass, which means there are still three more DLC fighters yet to be announced. Along with the character, players will gain access to a new Final Fantasy VII stage, as well as nine new music tracks from Final Fantasy remixed for Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. From what you've seen and played, then, are you happy?
Yeah, I really like the music. They did Aerith's theme from Keiichi Okabe, who did the Nier and Nier Automata soundtracks. And, like, that is amazing. It's, like, honestly, it's probably one of my favorite tracks in that game now. Sephiroth himself, he feels like a boss character. He's slow. He's has very long reach. He's has a ton of cooldown after attacks. So, like, you make everything hit, you make it hit hard. But if you miss, then you're in trouble. So I've been playing a bit online, and it's fun. It's cool to see everyone coming to grips with the character. I'm having this thing with Smash now where, like, I'll play this stuff for, like, a day or two, and I'll be like, all right, cool. Who's the next person? And at some point, that's going to end, and, like, at that point, maybe I'll start playing more, like, regularly. But I'm already speculating with people, like, who could be next? Who is the next character? Because there's three left, I think.
Yeah, that's what I just what we just read, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yes, three left.
Who do you think? Who's your money on?
I think a Pokemon is more or less guaranteed. I just don't know who. Okay. I would bet Toxtricity, but...
Of course, yeah, he's so famous.
It's a classic. It's a classic.
I love him with his two legs and wings.
I don't think he has wings. Shit. He's a poison with a guitar.
Obviously.
Oh, that sounds pretty cool, actually.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a lot like Andy.
You sold me. You brought
a lot like Andy.
That is a lot like Andy. All right. Number four on the Roper Report, Riot is working on an MMO. I'm reading from Kotaku, where Luke Plunkett writes, League of Legends fans who would like to enjoy the universe but not keep playing the same game over and over until you die, you're in luck. Riot just announced a new MMO set in the game's universe in the most casual way imaginable. In this tweet exchange, Riot VP Greg Street starts off talking about how he's recently been helping to, quote, develop the League universe, end quote, and how his quote new job is to kick off a big parentheses some might say massive game that many of you and many rioters have been asking us to create, end quote. That pretty much already says it, but Street clarifies just to be sure. Somebody hits him up and goes, tell me now, is it an MMO? Will I be able to pick up my waifu's clothes and the hairstyle? And Greg Street just responds, it is an MMO. Back to Luke. No teaser trailer, no experience, no expensive cinematic video, no concept art, no press release, just a tweet with the barest details imaginable.
Sure. Video games should stop being so secretive. Like, maybe if they didn't, like, hold it back and then this has to be an event with a cinematic trailer or all that stuff, like, it would disperse the hype a little bit more and people had more realistic expectations. But yeah, it is cool. No. It could just be like, yeah, it's an MMO. Great.
That I think if anything, we should get more secretive. And I'm not even making a joke here. Everybody should move to we're gonna the game gets announced and 6 months later it's out. That way there isn't time to go crazy. Because I've been on board with what you're talking about for a long time of like, why are movies, fucking Gary Whittle wrote a script about a talking refrigerator, they'll say 8 years from now. And then the thing will change a million times. Like, Tom Holland's going to be playing the talking toaster in this Gary Whittle thing. And then 3 years later, they'll finally shoot. And then the movie comes out and it's garbage and we don't care. But it's like, hey, we watched that whole journey, right? Video games, you do that in every interview for the rest of time. Riot employees will be asked about this MMO. And then when it gets canceled, even though it was never really announced, it'll be MMO from Riot canceled. And there'll be this whole fucking thing. And then every Riot article will talk about how they canceled this MMO. Like, we didn't even announce an MMO.
I will say one of the things, like, we were talking about the movie differences. I kind of wish I didn't read any Spider-Man casting stuff.
Totally. Can you fucking imagine if you could go into that blind?
Yeah, that would have been great. It would have been fantastic. But, you know, now I know, oh, Alfred Molina's going to be there. They're trying to get Tobey Maguire. I'm like, okay.
And once we start seeing teaser trailers, you'll be able to piece it together on what's going on and all this other stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I think about it all the time. Like, Tim's fiance, Gia's sister. Her and her boyfriend during quarantine. Maybe fiance, Kevin. Is that right? Am I getting the facts right there?
No, I think they're just...
All right, I didn't mean to make it too serious. They watched MCU for the first time ever.
Sweet kid.
So they had nothing. They had no spoilers. So imagine being able to not only watch the entire MCU run, but to be able to watch it week to week. That's I think what they were doing, like making an event out of it, but not knowing what was coming.
They
like
had watch, no idea they watch that Hulk was in Ragnarok.
They had no idea Bucky was Winter Soldier. Like, you know, you don't have no idea what's going to happen in fucking not Endgame, the other one, Infinity War. Like, holy shit. Can you fucking imagine?
I remember the very first thing I heard about Ragnarok was, oh, Hulk is in it.
Yeah, it's gonna be a Thor and Hulk buddy comedy, is what I heard. Yeah.
If only we could
cryo freeze, you know what I mean? Number five, like, and final on the sorry, go ahead.
I was gonna say making an MMO in 2020 is a choice, but you know, if you honestly, already have like some ground like basis, like Final Fantasy had, you know, Final Fantasy, well, WoW had Warcraft, all that, like that it could work out.
As somebody, who doesn't care at all about like League. Like, but it's cool they have this whole thing. Like, I'll look at it. I doubt I'll play it unless it's like DC Universe Online. Come on, but you know,
I'm excited for that one spinoff they have, the Airship Syndicate one that looks exactly like their last game, but is League stuff.
Yeah, Battle Chasers. It's the Battle Chasers like clone or whatever. Yeah, go get them, Joe Mad. Number five and final on the Roper Report, Control Ultimate Edition has been dated. They tweeted, Control Ultimate Edition comes to PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X/S with a 60 frames per second performance mode and a 30 frames per second graphics mode with ray tracing. Digital launch February 2nd, 2021. Retail launch March 2nd, 2021.
So are they still sticking to like that really dumb, you can only get Control next gen if you've already like bought the thing before?
Kindoffunny.com/ you're wrong. Let me know. I think that's still a thing, that everything they did with that crap is still going on, but I'm not 100% sure anymore.
Control went on Game Pass last month. So if you have that Game Pass version, it's not going to become the next gen version. Because if so, that sucks.
I vaguely remember that too. Like, that's the thing about it, where it's just like we're talking about like as Cyberpunk has exploded into this thing, you start thinking back on all the remember all the other bonehead decisions this year that were like, what, this is going to be like the biggest fuck up of the year? Like, and then everybody's like already forgotten it. I forgot all the details of how Control fucked all this up. I'm not even sure what the fuck it is anymore.
Yeah, you're wrong, Adelis.
Go ahead, you're wrong. We're gonna get to you in a second. For now, Imran, I'm excited to see what Yorong says about what exactly is fucking going on with these Control Ultimate Editions. But that's so far away. If I wanted something more immediate, say what came to the mom and grab shops, where would I go?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Out today, I want to start with Chris Pereira over at GameSpot, who writes, Epic Games has launched its latest seasonal event in Fortnite Battle Royale, and as you might guess from the name, it's a winter-themed one. Operation Snowdown brings new activities and free rewards for all players to take part in and earn from now until January 5th. Kevin, have you been cleaning up on those already?
No.
Ethan Gotcha, Kotaku writes, Dota 2's Mistwoods update dropped yesterday, making a ton of changes to the game and adding its 120th hero, a crossbow-toting woodland creature named Hoodwink. Update 7.28 is Dota's fifth one of the year, but arguably also its biggest, adding a completely new mechanic right before the holidays called Aghanim Ag Hanonyms shards. Items can be purchased to give heroes entirely new abilities or upgrade existing ones in the middle of matches. They work similarly to Ag Hanonyms Scepter in this regard, letting players spend 1,400 gold to expand their character's arsenal of abilities. Catch is on Xbox One. 60 Parsecs is on Xbox One. Freddy Spaghetti is on Switch. Dark Arcana The Carnival is on Switch. 60 Seconds Reatomized is on Switch. Ikaku Shapes Switch. Riddle Joker on PC. Watatum comes to PC. Kevin, can we show these screens I have here? It's highlighted on out today. It's,
sorry.
No, it's fine. While you pull it up, I'll read it. Sucker Punch tweets, from now until January 15th, 2021, you can unlock these Ghost of Tsushima Legends outfits inspired by iconic PlayStation characters from God of War, Horizon Zero Dawn, Shadow of the Colossus, and Bloodborne. Complete any story or survival mission with each class to unlock all four outfits. Imran, are you going to go get this Bloodborne outfit?
Probably, yeah. Like I was saying, I have not played Ghost of Tsushima Legends yet, but I think now I might, just for that Bloodborne one. Let's play.
It was, yeah, I played, me and Blessing did it on day one and I enjoyed it. And then I went back to a review of some kind or something and Blessing stayed on it and was obsessed with it and did the raid and got super crazy into it.
Yeah.
Star Wars KOTOR 2 is available on iOS and Android today. And then Grow Big or Go Home is out on Steam. New dates for you. Stardew Valley update 1.5 might still come this year. The creator tweeted, it might come out this year on PC and then on console early next year. So if you're Joey Noel, you're excited. And there you go. Before we get out of here, let's do a squad up. Remember, you can write into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames to squad up. That's where you give me your name, username, platform of choice, and why you need help in a video game. I read it here. The best friends come and find you, and everybody has fun together. Today, Mark Freeman writes in, of course, promoting the Zoom community hangouts. The easiest way to find the information is to go to his Twitter, at TheIndieBoy1, that is the numeral one, at TheIndieBoy1. Mark writes, Merry Christmas, everybody. Over the festive period, we will be doing multiple Zooms, starting with the normal Zoom this Sunday at 11 a.m. Pacific. Then, next week, we'll be doing a Christmas Day Zoom starting around lunchtime UK and then going on throughout the day till late Pacific time when the normal Zoom, then a normal Zoom on Sunday. So, if you want to hang out with some best friends and have fun, come join, even if it's just for 5 minutes. As usual, all the details are pinned on my Twitter, at TheIndieBoy1. Everybody, if you are alone on Christmas, don't spend it alone. Go hang out with Mark and the other kind of funny best friends and celebrate video games and maybe Portillo. I don't know what you talk about in there. Time for You're Wrong. This is where people tell us what we screwed up as we screwed it up by going to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Uh-oh, Angelo, which is a great fucking name, says, Spiritfarer was made by Thunder Lotus Games, and it's amazing. I'm aware of that, but I was not aware of the developer. Thank you, off the top of my head. Hey Ray says, Control Ultimate Edition is the only one available with the next-gen upgrade. Any other way it was purchased, you need to buy the Ultimate Edition. So there you go.
Okay, that sucks.
Oh, hold on. Somebody's trying to get you on Smash Nerdy Stuff. I'm going to put, hold on. This one comes from Odin Netten. He pushes up his glass and goes, Imran said that there are three difficulty options for Sephiroth's challenge, which is true, but you have to complete it on very hard in order to unlock him, his stage, and his new music early. His classic mode route is also included. So the only things missing from this update that will arrive next week with 10.0.1 are the Final Fantasy DLC spirits, Mii costumes, and the usual balancing changes.
Okay. Probably right. I don't know because I beat it on very hard the first time.
The
so.
Chat is all the chat saying any difficulty. You can even beat it on very easy.
I think they said it was like they wanted to make it so you only had to do it very hard, but they didn't. So any difficulty. There you go.
Wow. You hate to see Odie Netnin get taken out like this, but it turns out you're a fake Smash Brothers fan. So, Odie, what I'm going to need you to do is tweet at me and Imran, and it needs to be a video from your phone of you deleting your Smash Brothers game off your Switch because you're no longer allowed to play. I'm sorry we had to break it to you this way, but that's how it's
got
to be.
You know
what I
mean? 2 weeks to re-download it. You're good.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is usually where I tell you that we have tomorrow's host or what's going to happen next week, but remember there are no shows next week for Kind of Funny Games Daily. We are officially on holiday break at the close of business Friday. That's today. So a few things to keep in mind. Number one, of course, there will be an XCast on Saturday. It's being recorded today, so you get your normal XCast. Number two, there will be a PS I Love You XOXO next Tuesday. Those are the PlayStation or the PS I Love You XOXO 2020 awards that we are going to have a goofy time with, so come watch that. And then, of course, remember, we will be back for Kinda Funny Day, our sixth anniversary, Monday, January 4th, 10 a.m. Pacific time. It will be a 12-hour stream celebrating Kinda Funny and, of course, telling you what our plans are for 2021, which I have to get used to saying. Of course, the fun isn't over here yet. You can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Get the post show we're about to record. Remember, too, if for some reason you haven't supported us on Patreon before, there are hours and hours and hours of exclusive content on both of them, whether it be Bless Way. No, what's it called now? Bless Up, right? The Blessing Show or Greg Way. You could just call it the same thing. If you would just call it the same thing, it would have been easy. Anyways, those are Patreon exclusive shows. They're over there. There's a bunch of stuff like that. But if you have no bucks to toss or away, remember, you can always watch this show, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, where up next is going to be the screencast talking about the season finale of The Mandalorian. Of course, you can get this show later, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and podcast services around the globe. No matter where you get the show, thank you for supporting us. Imran, thank you for another great year of hosting.
Thank you. I appreciate you. I appreciate Kinda Funny. I appreciate Kinda Funny's fans. Like, this has been, it's not been the easiest year for me. And like, I don't know how long that's going to be true, but Kinda Funny has always been there for me. And Kinda Funny as a community has always been there for me. And I cannot stress how much I appreciate that.
Oh, we love you, man. It wouldn't be the same without you. You know that. We're lucky to have you. I'm so glad we get to do shows with you. You're fantastic. Kevin, you're all right too.
Thanks, man.
No problem. We got a post show to do on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. But until next time, no, it's been our pleasure to serve you.